Oh man, thank you, thank you. Yeah, it's been good meeting with Jordan the other day, meeting with Justin, and so many of you here, some friends in the city, and we live in real, really exciting times. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I was just blessed with the worship. You know, remember that one which says, lift up your hands and what? Go low. That's prophetic of something of what I need to say today also. And sometimes we just wonder, what is this going low and what is this going high? It's not just some physical exercise. To those of us who, you know, are not so outwardly expressive, but there is an inward focus of what God is doing. And it's such a joy to praise God and worship together with you as a local church, River House as a community, and leadership like yours. I'm just going to get this right so I can focus a bit. But you know, just like a community like yours, there's such a sync with what God is doing here. And even from my first visit here, I remember meeting with Justin once and then Jordan and just hearing their heart. Because really, as I've been visiting the city, I just see that need to have a focus, not just on us personally, but even as a city. And God's got something for the city, beloved. God's got something, I tell you. I remember when my son and daughter-in-law were moving back here. I think they were in Atlanta. And I was talking to this prophetic guy, Terry. And we were at a prophetic, or whatever you call it. I'm careful about this. Apostolic prophetic, but that's true. That's where we were. And they had these big name prophetic guys in the room and some apostles. And I was just telling him, I said, they moved to Boise. And he's saying, what's about Boise? What is God doing? Now, this was some years ago, 7 or 8 years. So if you've been holding on to that promise, there's something that God is going to do. But it's for those who are going to go in for the long haul. Amen? It's not just a hit and run stuff. It's a marathon. It's a tenacity. It's a resoluteness that God is calling us to. And God wants us to, beloved. Just even as we bond together and the vision, I know this church has had a vision for South Asia and nations and cities, and that's where Jordan is today. And my son Luke and Andrea happened to be with him, and we got the babies. And I was wondering, did I make the right call by saying I'm going to preach tonight? Because we had some overnight duty as well. Anyway, God's good. So praise God for the community here and the bringing in people, equipping people in ministry, that the vision that this church has, not just, you know, for a congregation in a mega church style, but to see house churches, to see the church permeating society and the spheres of influence, some of what I'm going to be touching today, beloved. And we have this great and exciting gospel of Christ. Amen. The Christ that we worship today. Not just an emotional experience, but how does this translate, beloved, into our daily living, into our walk, into our family, into situations and circumstances at workplace, in governance. I know you've just come out of an election, and I'm not going that way right now, but we know God's brought change here, and we, you know, India's been praying for the US. Churches have been praying for this country because the US has been a positive influence in the nations, and we want it to stay there and not to die down, but to fire up. Amen. And we've been having problems of our own, but people have been praying for this government and whatever's to come. And I think we all need to get into that place. And no matter which side of the line you are, we need to pray for those in authority. We need to call on God. We need to believe God. We need to pray that this nation will keep being ascending nation, and this nation will bring forth life within and outside. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, we are called. We're all called here. It's not just me standing here. There was a time I never stood in front. I was right at the back and afraid. If you had to tell me you're going to stand here one day, I would have run out of the door. Kind of a shy kind of a person. My wife was the bold one, you know. But anyway, I was telling the group the other day, I had very few words in our marriage when we first got married. And she said, I thought, you know, when we get married, we are going to talk into the night, but you don't talk too much. So I said, you need to pray for me. I mean, we knew each other from school. That's another story. But I said, you need to pray for me. And now she says, you talk too much. I said, when you pray, God answers, and He answers abundantly. Amen. So, you know, beloved, we are all God's just building us as instruments to build the church. Not just this local church, but be a part of a city church. I like what the confession we made in the offering time, and that's who we are a part of. And God's put us on this earth for a purpose, whether it's in our families, whether it's in our workplace. God's calling us, beloved, to yield to Him. And this gospel story, this gospel that you and I are a part of, is a gospel of love. No doubt about it. Amen. And God is calling us to be storytellers with our life, with our works. And not just a part of the story, but the whole story. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the full story. And I'm not saying it's full because I'm saying it. There's probably other parts to it. But I think God has a holistic gospel story which you and I are a part of, which applies to every sphere of life, no matter where you come from. And the good thing about it is we are all called, amen. We're all called to something in God, in the kingdom. And that's one of the things that we had as a value, even in the initial days. It was way back in 1977. It makes me feel a little bit older. But anyway, I am. But when we came to the Lord, and we were part of this church of just 100 people, and it had plateaued, and the young guys, and we were part of the young guys, the young people, both of us, okay? And we got together with one of our other leader, young people with the pastor, and said, we need to fast and pray, because he was frustrated. There was not much offering. Church was not growing. It had plateaued. Great values that started by some New Zealanders, very great theologians. We had great foundations. But we needed to see something break forth. And I remember we said, okay, let's just fast and pray. Let's talk to the Lord about it. And it was those 3 years that culminated into this year where we decided to seek God and come around our pastor and say, what are you saying? And that's how the Lord led us into small groups and house churches. And we started seeing this happen, and we became candidates. We didn't know we were called for it. But when you start praying, you start becoming the answer very often. It's like the Moravian prayer movement with Count Zinzendorf. It was a 100-year prayer movement, and all of them, they say, became missionaries. Just amazing. And that's what God does, because He has a mission. It doesn't mean, you know, if you're a businessman, you're not on mission. You are on mission. If you're a shop floor attendant, you are on mission. We are all on mission, beloved. That's the beauty of this gospel that we're talking about today. And I'm going to interlace it with some of our experiences and stories that would give you even a heart to pray for us, but also to encourage you Whatever God does there, he can do here. Whatever he does here, he can do there. Amen? Hallelujah. But there's a simple, vital attitude that is very importantly needed in this time of change, challenge, and sometimes disruptive seasons. And as we align our beings and works to be worshipers in spirit and in truth, this value is very important. Yes, it's a gospel of love. It's a gospel of hope. It's a gospel of peace. But I believe, you know, I was in Texas with my friend, and we were just talking and heartbroken of some of the big ministries, you know, going through shaking. And this is happening all over the world. And I was asking the Lord, God, keep us, Lord. And what are you saying? And this one word started to crop up into my heart. Even as I think and position ourselves for this wonderful God story and gospel that God's called us to be a part of. And that is humility. That's why I was excited when we were singing, bend low, bend low, 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 low. And this humility is best emphasized in the words of Jesus himself in the Gospels. In Matthew 23, 12, he says, those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted, be lifted up. It's a great promise with a strong warning that is needed in these times. No matter where we are in the body of Christ, beloved, the times are changing, and it's changing quickly. AI is here to stay. You may not like it, but that's it. I was talking to a head of research in Rutgers, a guy we've been involved in mentoring. He's become the senior research guy and the head, an Indian guy, by the way. And he said, he came to the pastors and he said, if you think that you're going to stop AI, you're standing in front of a moving train trying to stop it. It's not going to happen. So change is coming fast. But what's going to help us? We don't have to be nervous. We don't have to be uncertain. But we can be full of security and fortitude in God as we learn to bend low. And Jesus says, if we humble ourselves, beloved, and there's an opportunity for us. This is a strong statement Jesus is making. And he's talking here to a group of Pharisees. And these were religious leaders who were taught to be followers of God. But this is recorded for us also. It's recorded for mankind. We see even through the ages, even secular, what we would term people, or who didn't know God like we knew him or know him, knew the value of this humility. And when they abided in or plugged into this value, something happened through their lives. We have a great leader in Mahatma Gandhi. I don't know if you've ever heard, and if you've not seen that movie Gandhi, I was just talking to a group the other day, our friend Tim, and he was challenged to see it. My grandson saw it the other day. He was Australian Indian. We've got, you know, Australian Indian, American Indian. We're taking the nations sort of in different ways. And so he said, I've never seen it, Granddad. Let's see it together. He's about, 14, 15 years old. He was weeping. Because this man knew what it was to humble himself. And he was touched by the gospel. The sad part of it is in South Africa, when he went to a church because of apartheid, he was kept outside. And he said, I love their Christ, but I don't like the Christian. But he took on this movement of nonviolence that shook the British Empire and brought freedom to this big nation of India that is now 1.3 billion. But when you look into that life, you begin to see an example of humility, beloved. And I've yet to see, if we touch the ground and truly walk with humility in our hearts and lives, God will not show us favor. I've yet to see that won't happen, because it does happen. No matter where we are, beloved, humility is a strength. It's not a weakness. It seems such a weak word in the aspect of life, but according to Jesus, the Lord of all, it's mentioned right through the Bible. It's the road that leads to greatness and promotion in God's sight, in His kingdom, in this world as well. It may come in different ways though. So what does this simple word mean? How does it relate to us in all aspects of life and the gospel story of grace and truth in the spirit of God's love? How does this come in? The Greek word used in the verse that Jesus is speaking of is tapino, which means bringing low. That's why I was excited about low. Bend low. Have you heard of the Wales revival, the Welsh revival, some of you? I know Jordan and Jackie, I think y'all were in Ballybrennan at one time, and we had friends there, and I didn't know they were going there, and introduced them to them. But in that place, that's Wales, where Aaron Roberts, as a young student in a grammar school, he attended prayer meetings. Of course, he says, because records say that he was fearful that the rapture would happen if he was not in the prayer meeting and he wouldn't get raptured or something like that. But he was in this meeting in this college, and a guy, Seth, I can't remember his full name, but Evan was sitting in the back, and Seth ended the message by saying, bend low. We need to call God and ask God to help us to bend low. And all Evan could take was, bend me, Lord. Bend me, Lord. And at the end of the service, he was right at the back crying out, saying, bend me. Bend me, Lord. He didn't go off. The chapel continued to the next service, and he was at the back saying, bend me, Lord. Bend me, Lord. And from there, something began to happen, and God told him to go back to his hometown. And he went back, and that's where this great revival began of young people. Evan was the oldest, about 25, 26 years old. And God started to use these insignificant people to bring forth the gospel, to bring forth life. It affected every area of life. Just that one act of response, beloved. Beloved, wherever we are today, I urge you, let's bend low. No matter where you are on life spectrum, let's bend low. You know that revival, it affected not the church inside. It's not just talk about numbers. I mean, numbers were beyond what you can imagine. People were getting struck on the road by the conviction of God. Ships that were 5 miles out, when they were coming in into the 5 mile vicinity, repentance started to happen because the Holy Spirit was falling, convicting sin. Oh my God, maybe call out, and we will see things like that happen. We are yet to see it happen in all the promises that God has given to us. They say they had problems in the mines because the mules and horses were used to curse the birds. But now these guys were not cursing anymore. So the horses were not moving. That's what the move of God does. It affects every area of life. Like I said, we got together with our pastor and few of us young people, the elders were very busy. You know, busyness is always there. But we got together and said, we need to seek the Lord and fast and pray. And we were on this place. Maybe you could have some water too. Yeah, I think you're talking about that. You know, just getting to hear what they're saying. I mean, not just discerning. And so we said, let's seek God. We were in our job. Some of us took leave. And we were in this 4-day time where we were seeking God in fasting, in praying. Didn't know much. We had a good foundation of 3 years. But now we are saying, God, do something. And God gave us a vision there. Not just an open vision. Our pastor says he had an open vision of Jesus. But we just got this in our heart that we need to start these small groups. And guess what? It was us who had to do it. And he said, you. And I had never preached in my life. Taking a small group, I said, what's this going to be? We were not trained too much on it, on small groups like you're doing today. But as we stepped out, Mel and myself just got married that year. And we said, God, We believe. We were inspired by South Korea at that time with what happened. We heard those, you know, those cassette tapes you put in, click. Some of you, it's antiques, so you may not know about it. But it's beyond the CD, okay? And so they put it in, and in that tape, they were talking about how this move in South Korea, in homes. And so we started in one home, and I had three people, and we had done so much evangelism, but they were not coming in. We saw some people saved, but then we, three of us, began to believe God, started to say, hey, God is able to do it. Amen. And one by one, we saw God work in all these eight small groups. And then the vision grew, and we said, in every ward, on every pin code, we need a house group. And from there, it went to, those house groups began to be church centers or churches. And this started to grow and grow till at one time we had over 6,000 of these groups all over the city. And now it's taken a different form. You know, after 25 years, a movement needs to produce other movements. Otherwise, it becomes a monument. And that's what we were getting into. So, beloved, God is at work. And if you're up for small groups, just be open. Say, God, you know, some of our homes there in India, you would know it, right? Those who have been. It's like 10, if you go to the slum, it's 10 foot by 20 feet is their home. Mumbai is 23 million. And you have people who are, you have the most millionaires in that city. But you also have 70% of people living in a slum. So here's this paradox. But God's working. Amen. And we have to have different types of groups for different types of people. Like Paul said, to the Jew I became a Jew. To those under the law I became under the law. To those without the law I became as them. I became all things to all men that some may be saved. That word some in the Greek could mean many be saved also. I don't know why they put some, but anyway, we'll go for the many. Amen. And that speaks of humility, because there in that scripture, Paul is saying, though I am free, though I am free, I choose to become a servant. I choose. You see, beloved, we are born in Christ, born again, to be free, to be sons. But servanthood and humility comes by choice. We need to choose. We need to choose, and we have to come to that place, beloved. And it's sad, because as movements grow, sometimes some of us forget where we are from and where we've come from. You know, in Proverbs 11:2, it says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble, there is wisdom. There is favor. There is rewards. And we went through our own shaking after about 30 years, because things can creep in at any time. The enemy is there. And therefore, as we sang today, there must be a dependence all my life. Beloved, I want to be dependent on God. I like what she prayed over me. Dependence on God. Let God draw that out. As we humble ourselves, Jesus comes forth. The other word I was looking at on humility is the word anava in the Hebrew. And I like this, what you see the YouVersion Bible says. It says it's the literal definition of what it is to occupy your God-given space in the world, not to overestimate yourself or your abilities, and not to underestimate them either. Humility, you know, doesn't mean weakness. It's strength. Meekness and humility, meekness and humility go together, right? The meek horse, you say the meek horse, that's where the word meek came from. A horse that is unbroken is wild and strong. And then it has to be broken in. And then the bridles are put in and all these sort of things happen. And then the horse gets meek. And one flip of the rein and the horse can shoot out. And that's where you have horsepower in engines. Amen. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to channelize that power through our lives, that we would see God's glory come in quiet ways, in loud ways, in expressions, or even when there's no expression. God's able to move. But he wants a willing heart, beloved. And this word in ours is associated with the fear of the Lord throughout the Old Testament. You know, in Isaiah 66:2, and I love this, he says, all these things my hand has made. So all these things came to be, declares the Lord. All these things. What are the things that govern our lives? What are the things that we need? All these things my hand has made. And all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one whom I will look at. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. May the fear of God come back. You see, thank God, we need the joy of the Lord. Amen. I'm all for joy. I'm all for dancing. There's one time I only thought dancing was the outside, you know, in the dance floor. My wife is a great dancer, by the way. But I had two left legs. That's what she said. But, you know, one day I was in church and I saw them dancing. I was just a new believer. I said, oh man, I need to. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, dance. No. When your eyes are closed, it's easy to hear. But when you start opening, oh no, all these guys around me. If I've got two left feet, that's even worse. And I went home and I felt disappointed. I felt I didn't obey. I felt I was... There was something that God wanted to do. I'm not saying you have to dance. Hello, listen to me. Don't shut off. But I go home and the next Sunday I said, God, if this Sunday you tell me I'm going to dance. And that Sunday no one was dancing. I'm hearing the Lord say, dance. And I started to dance the Holy Ghost hop. Or call it what you want. And I tell you what happened within. That's the point I'm making. I'm not talking about the outer. I got chains started to break off. Chains of embarrassment started to break off me. Sometimes we need to get foolish to know the wisdom of God. Anyway, let's go on. Otherwise, we'll be a whole evening. You know, he told me the time. So we see the perfect example in Jesus himself, beloved. And through his humble obedience, through his love, Justin and I were talking the other day about the humble love. We have forgiveness, salvation, reconciliation to God. And even in our sinfulness, weakness, and brokenness, you see, we see God coming to us. And it's not something that happened 20 years, or in our case, 48 years ago. But God wants to do something even today in our lives. And that's the whole thing of the gospel, beloved. It's not just something that happened 20, 30 years ago. And now I have to just, you know, live out that life. And that's kind of a two-part gospel. I'll just go on. Forgetting the time. But you see, life in this gospel story with the premise of humility is so important to look at. It's full of grace and truth. And sometimes the gospel that we look at is like a two-part gospel. We talk about the fall and we talk about the redemption. Now that's very, very important. You see, because when you talk about the fall, I think that got mixed up a bit, but it's fall and redemption. Isaiah has been doing a great job. I just gave him these things last minute so you can understand. But yeah, you can keep that all up. But the fall and redemption, that's a two-part sometimes, you know. And it's so important, you know, to that in our fallenness, in our lostness, to know that this gospel can come and save us and bring us out. But you know something, that fallenness doesn't end. In the sense, we are saved, but we are being saved as well. If you die today, you'll go to heaven. Don't worry about that, if you're a believer. But salvation is working in us. And sometimes we don't look at that other side and we wonder, why am I struggling in my marriage? Or why am I struggling with sin? After what, 44 years of marriage sometimes, I still have to repent. Right? If I say the wrong word to Mel or something like that, it's not all perfect. At different stages of our life, we'd had to tweak and adjust. And there's that broken area or that fallen area which God keeps dealing with. And what I was, I'm no longer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we are going on from glory to glory. Till that one day we'll see him. Anyway, I'll come back to that part of the story. But we talk of the fall. We talk of the redemption. And that's so important. This two-chapter gospel is very important about the fall and the redemption. Because there's no other hope for the world, as we sang. It's Christ and Christ alone. The other day we were in Phoenix and we were talking to a lady there. I was so blessed because, he was a CEO of one of the multinational companies. And he was in India with us, joined our church from a Hindu background. And his wife, and they both came to know the Lord over here. But then they were looking for a church and they were going through their own search. And that's how we met. But the good part of it is he brought his 80-year-old mother, who was from India, rich with Indian culture, but never knew Jesus and followed another faith and had never come to the Lord. But in those 3 years, she met Jesus. And she was crying. They were crying the other day, telling us about the blessing that they experienced. And the connections still go. And they said these relationships in God never die. And even as we were there, it seemed as if, we had never left each other for those 4 or 5 years. And beloved, when you look at what the gospel does, and she said this, that's what I wanted to bring. She said she was filled with gratitude as people shared patiently and dialogued with her in spite of her unbelief, in spite of her questions, in spite of her coming against certain things. But she said that what she realized was the difference was this. In religion, she was trying to reach God, as we all know, but in Christ, he comes to you. And today, beloved, is 26th February, which is 26th January, which is our Republic Day, and where we got the Constitution. So pray for India, and I'm here today. Hallelujah. And she was asked to speak to a big organization today. At 90 years old now, she got baptized at 80, and her mind is sharp, and she's sharing Jesus. And her son now has become the president of another big coffee company here and loves Jesus. And the owner, I won't tell you the whole name because I don't know if I'm supposed to, but you'll guess it. But anyway, the owner calls him to the top among 3,000 employees and franchises of that coffee, which is here as well, and said, this guy, and he starts praising him. And then he says, and one thing more, of course he used a curse word, this guy's a man of God, and I've asked him to mentor me publicly. Amen. Come on, this is the gospel. We've got to be penetrating every area of society, beloved. And we've got to be open to God's word and God's ways in every dimension of life. But sometimes we stop at that two-chapter gospel. And then we see, can we have the slide again? We see the creation, the fall, the redemption, and the restoration. You see, the gospel is more than that. It's creation, right? And we realize we've been created for a purpose. Man was put on this earth for a purpose. And you and I have a purpose. No matter how young you are, how old you are, there is a purpose. Amen. And praise God, there's a great ending. It says in the book of Revelation, there's a restoration of all things. So we see that the gospel is all about seeing redemption, reconciliation, and restoration of all things. I think someone read the earth, or we sang, the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And sometimes, you know, we only think of that part of the gospel. Okay, I'm saved now and I'm going to heaven. The other day I was thinking of that old song, when we all get to heaven, what a beautiful day it will be. Praise God, it's going to be good. Amen. That's something that drew me when I was 13 years old. And seeking at 18 years old or 19 years old, I said, God, where am I going beyond this life? For 5 years, I read books. I started to seek. Not knowing the answer was in Jesus. I found it was too simple. It had to be a complex thing. But the gospel is foolish to them that perish. But it is the saving power of God to them that believe. And praise God for heaven. Today I have that assurance, my Lord, if I go out from here and if I'm called, zook, I'm going to be in glory. Amen. So don't worry about that, beloved. If you are secure in God, in life and in death, Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now don't commit suicide or something like that, okay? But if there's that thought, it needs to get out of us because God's called us to live on this earth. I know these thoughts may come. It's better to go there. Let's just do it in the shortcut. No. Because we have to face Him, beloved. But the gospel is more than that. It's a 5-chapter gospel. You see, because these 4 parts are important. But there's 1 part missing. What about now? Yes, we are created. Yes, we are going to, there's the fall. Yes, there's the redemption. And one day we are going to be in heaven. But what about now? And Tim Keller puts it like this he's talking about the already and the not yet. That's the tension we are in one sense. The already that's happened, but the not yet. And that's where we are in this world today for a purpose. In Hebrews 2:8-9, it says, we do not see everything in subjection to Him, but we see Him who for a little while was made lower than angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death. So there is both here. You see the already and the not yet. 1 John 3:2, we are children of God, but what we will be has not yet been made known. So we are children of God. We are in Christ today. But there's more. And what is the situation we are in today? In the already and the not yet. That tension sometimes that we face right in life. The flurry of thoughts that can be negative and positive. The anger that may come up, which we need to repent of. But beloved, that's why we need to be renewed. That's where renewal comes. I think revival will come as people are willing to be renewed. Renewal is a daily process, beloved. It's a rhythm. There are things that God can do suddenly in our lives. But He calls us to a journey. He calls us to a pathway of regularity and rhythms, which sometimes is hard to keep. I know with our grandchildren, sometimes I wonder, you know, how we did it with our children. But praise God, we made it. And we are still making it now with grandpas, grandparents. But we proclaim the gospel in word and deed to bring transformation to individuals and to impact our places, our neighborhoods, our nation, and our nations. It's not just a personal salvation. You see, when you look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, it says that Jesus died to reconcile all things. Because when we talk of renewal in the already and not yet, we wonder if our work, what has that got to do with Sunday? Or what has Sunday got to do with Monday? It's got everything to do. We're supposed to be getting equipped here in the small groups on Monday, during the week, during the trainings, to be God's men and women outside there. It's not just dancing here, but sometimes you need to dance out there. You know, in India, you have festivals and you see these guys with the idols and they'll be dancing on the street. Of course, they have a little bit, but we've got the Holy Spirit, right? We're not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. And we need to be bold. We need to ask God for that boldness and that courage. And God gives it to us, beloved. I'd like that diagram to come up on renewal just quickly, because as we look at this whole thing of this already and the not yet, this is something that we've been recently, about the last 5 years or 6 years, my son's introduced me to this. It's this whole thing of renewal, where we are objects of God's renewal and we are agents of God's renewal. And it's simultaneous. That's the good part of it. In my brokenness, even in my newness in the Lord, God was using me to bring others to Christ. And even today. So don't let that hold you back. At the same time, let God work in you as His love beckons you, calls you. The Father's love calls you to Himself. Even when you feel, oh man, today I blew it. Today I'm a failure. I feel a failure. I don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't know if I'm the only guy, but sometimes I've not felt like reading it. But that doesn't mean you don't read it. Amen. Because as you do it, God does something in your life. I remember once I was down and problems of the churches where I was. And I go into this house of prayer. I was sharing it the other day. And I go into this house of prayer and there's a young guy praying, a 15-year-old. He's standing in the gap. And I needed prayer. I said, Clinton, can you pray over me? His name is Clinton. Your Catholic background? He said, no, Pastor, how can I pray for you? I said, do you believe in submission? He said, yes, I command you to pray for me. Anyway, but he did pray for me and God did something. Hallelujah. Amen. And we were able to pray together. And that's what I'm saying about this gospel. We are God's objects. The Father's eyes are on us, beloved, and we don't have enough time to go into that. But you've been hearing that the Father's story and the Father's heart. It reaches out to us, beloved. No matter where you are, even when you feel that God's far away, He is absolutely with you and near you and in you. He allows those dark nights of the soul sometimes so that we would pursue, so that we would grow. But in this renewal, as we look at that picture, let's go back to that, you'll see that there are areas on the outside. And you look at governments, education, that slide was not very clear, leading, arts, entertainment, family. And we are challenging our people in all these areas, saying, especially in certain cities, they're getting the vision. The church coming together and beginning to know that in whichever sphere of life God has placed you, you are God's agent for change. Some months ago, you know, we are in a thing in our country, and there is persecution in many parts, and I won't get into too many details here. But I get this call from one of our pastors, a women pastor, and her husband, and she says, hey, this political party has asked me if I'm going to stand for election in the area we are living in. What do you think? I'm all for it, but I was careful. I said, what does your husband think? And what do y'all think together? And she said, I think 5 years down the line. I said, yeah, that's great, okay, but there's need. And then the husband calls me, he says, hey, we've been praying for government. I'm telling her, this is the time, let's jump into it. The Lord has called us to pray for our governments, for those in authority. When you look at Timothy 2:2, pray for those in authority. We're not to stay away from that. And that space then gets occupied from someone else. Remember the definition I shared about an ava? Occupy your God-given space. If God's called you to that space, occupy it with the authority of the Lord. And that only comes from humility. And so she calls and she says, so she's into it now. And she has a team with her. Now, India is a very pluralistic society. You have Hindus, Muslims, Jains, Parsis, all the religions. Christians are small percent officially. And so she's got a team and she's got two born-again people with her. Then she's got some from the Muslim background, some from the Hindu background, who've decided to join a team. And they're visiting 50,000 homes. And the guess what? Sometimes there's a need. And the Muslim guy knows she prays. So he says, hey, they can pray for you. Now she's careful, so she'll tell the two others to say, pray, because they can say you're using politics for religion. In India, it's a very different situation. But my point is, we need to occupy the space that God has called us to. And it is challenging. And therefore, we need to come to this place in God of constant reminders and constant repentance. I'm not saying you beat yourself on the head. But repentance is something that the church doesn't talk too much about. Oh, it's a bad word. I tell you, for me, it's a good word. When I need to repent, oh, I thank God I'm able to repent. If I can't repent, I'm lost. And you look here for daily renewal. You have repentance and faith and the means of grace. You see, beloved, faith in God is something God has given to everyone. That's why it says, seek the things above. And so on a daily basis, we need to remind ourselves, Shelton, seek the things above. Look at Jesus. Look what he's saying. John 5, I only see and do what I see my Father doing. What is God doing in the room? I met a guy who's the head of Apple in Canada. He was the president and a man of God, came to the Lord later. And he says that, while he was there, he would go into board meetings and he would say, what are you doing, God, over here? What are you saying? And we need to ask God that question. Because God's at work. And even those people you least think he's at work in. And I can tell you story after story of how God is working in these circumstances, in these situations. Beloved, God works through us, beloved. And God's interested in every sphere of society. Lauren Cunningham, in his book, The Book That Transforms Nations, the Bible has the power to significantly change any country in the world at large, drawing on his decades of missionary experience. And he talks about these various countries in Europe, America, and how God was at work to change it. Switzerland, when you look at, torn by factions, degraded by superstitions, ignorant of Christian truth, sunk in worship of relics. When Calvin goes there, what happens? Peace and good government, law-abiding citizens were a model for all Europe. That's what God used Calvin. He had his own issues, though, and we all have, right? And Geneva became one of the greatest intellectual centers of Europe. Sinfulness was absent on the streets. God was worshipped in thousands in homes. In public affairs of the city, God's will was sought and obeyed. The word of God was the only rule of faith and practice. The city was a symbol of freedom, and Protestants from throughout Europe came there for refuge. Schools and seminaries were started. Hallelujah! Amen! This is not just the book of Acts. This is Acts continuing. And Acts must continue. Can God touch Boise? Yeah. Amen. We are praying for Mumbai. There's 200 more people. But it seems more difficult. But no, whether it's big or small, God's able to work, right? 230 lakhs, we say 23 million. What's Boise's population? 500,000? Anyway, get to know it so that you can start praying. Amen. And beloved, through him, he came to reconcile all things. Yes, he came to reconcile you to God. And through this repentance and faith, the means of grace works. And I'm going to end here. But this means of grace, I just want to take a few minutes. Repentance, it says the kindness of God in Romans 2:4 leads to repentance. It's not God's will for to get entangled in the web of fruitfulness. When we miss it, we turn back. Fruitlessness. God doesn't want us to be in fruitlessness. So the kindness of God leads us to repentance. It's getting our GPS right, our God positioning satellite, right? God positioning setting, I say, calls us back to him. But the means of grace. You know, we talk of grace, grace. What is this grace? How does it work? It's a whole message there. But I just want to say a few things. The means of grace happens when you come in fellowship like this on Sunday. When someone comes and prays with you. When you interact with somebody. The means of grace comes even when you're out at a walk and look at the creation of God. Because you can see his handiwork. God's able to work in various situations and renew your batteries. Renew your heart. Renew your spirit. Renew your being. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. The means of grace the Holy Spirit brings when someone comes and prays over you. When you give to the Lord, the means of grace works. Harvard University, they did a research on this whole aspect of giving, and it showed how people who gave, now this was a secular research, and they gave in different ways of their life, and they were much happier people. It's all there on the net. You look at it later. But beloved, conversations between believers can be a means of grace. Being rebuked can be a means of grace. My wife, sometimes, she's a pin to the balloon if I get too proud. No. If she sees that, sometimes she says, hey, Sheldon, just be careful, be careful. Worshipping together, praying together, singing together, these are means of grace. Practical spiritual disciplines of our spiritual formation in our prayer, in our reading of the Bible, in our celebrating, is means of grace comes to us. Hallelujah. I'm excited, my brothers. Oh, Jesus. But I want to say, we need to position ourselves rightly. And no matter where you are today, I think there's a call. And there are desires in our hearts, I know here. We heard about healing in the room. We heard about, what else did you say was in the room? Pardon? Drawing men to himself. Yeah, and I felt even, you know, praying for sick when you were going to say that. So God's at work, mental healing, spiritual healing. But not just that, some of us want to go forward. You have that drawing. Some of us are facing a mountain. Some of us are facing a big situation. Or you feel the situation's locked and it needs to be unlocked. And I just believe the Holy Spirit is calling us to bend low today. Bring it to God, church. As a church, there's much that God is going to do. It's just begun here. As a church in the city, and we are all needed to stand together. No church is 100% perfect. We'll find these flaws and all that. So, like someone said, you know, oh, if you leave this church and go to another church, maybe I'm not finding the right church. But then that church becomes imperfect because we go there, right? So anyway, the point is, it's your preference wherever God leads you. That's great. But what I'm trying to say is, beloved, no matter where we are going to face trials. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The overcomer's in you. And as we bend low, Jesus comes forth. As we wash feet, Christ himself is exalted. And may God lead us today. Let's just wait on God for a few minutes. But I believe that God's calling us to bend low. No matter what's your situation, beloved. And some of you are facing a storm. Some of you are looking at the mountain. Some of you need answers. Some of you are struggling. Maybe if you've never really committed yourself to God, it's time to bend low. You see, the lower we go, the greater the flow. Maybe in our relationships there's issues. Let's bend low. And I'm going to give you a challenge right now, a call. If you're facing something that you feel is a difficult situation, I'm going to call you up here. To say, as an act of faith, as an act of meaning to deal with this situation, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone and bend low. I'm going to come out and bend low. You may not be able to kneel, that's fine. But just come forth. And I think the ministering team is here. And we're going to minister. Even as we talked of the five-part gospel, you've known the Lord. You know the restoration that one day you're going to heaven. But what about the already and the not yet? What about now, what God is saying? And if you're that person too, come forward, come forward. Just come forward. Maybe you're in the ministry school also. Or maybe you're just seeking God for direction, beloved. God, come forward. And just say, here I am, Lord. Maybe there's an emptiness in some of you. It seems meaningless where you are today. Come forward. Because I believe in this act sometimes of stepping out. Oh, Jesus. Stoko. Oh, Lord God. Draw us, Lord. Draw us. Draw us, Lord, as your people. You said, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Come on, let's draw near. Draw near. Maybe you can't kneel, you want to stand. Somebody just do that. But draw near. Do something. Say, God, I want to step in, Lord. I want to step in. I'm weak, but you are strong. Paul says, though I'm weak, he is strong. In my weakness, his strength is made perfect. In your weakness, don't be afraid to acknowledge the weakness. There are areas where I'm weak. That's why I need the body. That's why I need you. That's why we need one another. And if you sense that weakness in your being today, you're facing a situation and you feel weak, come up. Come up. Don't hold back. There's a tap on some of our hearts. There's a tap on some of our hearts. Maybe if you hit a wall in life and you're not here by accident, it's a call saying, my daughter, my son, I love you. I love you. I love you. You know, there's a scripture in the Songs of Songs, and it says, my beloved said unto me, rise up, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The time of singing of the birds has come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. You know, strangely, I was sitting near Robin there and hearing this, and I think it's for all of us. But Robin, I was thinking of Robin and a bird, okay, singing. And I believe the time of singing. I believe there's a new season, even in you. There's a season where God's lifting something and bringing something in greater measure, in greater measure, in greater measure. And we speak life. And to many of us here, a time of singing has come. Oh, come, 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 come. Sikore kerevese. Sorry, but I speak in tongues sometimes. Odi karava sikenda mokore. I was speaking in tongues in Australia over a Persian Muslim. And he came running after me and said, you were speaking my language. You were speaking Farsi. And I believe, I'm not saying we all need to speak in tongues, but that's also a means of grace. Singing a new song, maybe singing. Maybe singing a new song, maybe praying in the Spirit. Oh God, come. Breakthrough, Lord, breakthrough, breakthrough. Dikarava say. Breakthrough, Lord, in visions and dreams. Breakthrough, Lord, with the artist community. with the business community breakthroughs, with the intellectual breakthroughs, with the shop attendant breakthroughs, Lord, with the menial worker breakthroughs, Lord. Oh, rekende, with the housewife and the husband. Breakthroughs in the ministry, breakthroughs in the small groups, breakthroughs in the workspace. It's like waves, beloved. There are waves here. Drawing us. Oh, will you be drawn? Will you be drawn? Don't let anything hold you back. Healing, Lord, let it flow. Justin, if you want to come up here also, just pray for the sick. If you feel that, or later on as ministry teams, if you're sick in your body, just come up here, beloved. There's someone with hearing issues. Come up here if you've been praying for that too. There's an issue with your left leg. Come up here. Let get some prayer for that. There's a financial crunch. I'm hearing financial crunch. A deep financial situation. Come up. Stay and sit. Children, if they are a concern to you, call on God today. Thank you. Let's start praying for people. Let's start praying. Oh, and those of us who just want to be quiet and say, here I am, Lord, wherever you're seated. Oh, if you want to just stand or sit, there's no problem. It's the gospel story that you and I are a part of. You are the object of God's renewal, of God's change, and you are the agent of God's change. Oh, some of us need to step out so that the depression lifts, the heaviness will lift. Step out and meet somebody, go to somebody, give somebody, do something. If you've been cocooned within and say, I can't move anymore, I'm paralyzed with my situation, with my self-worth, it's time to step out and say, I'm going to go, I'm going to do something. Thank you, Father. City of Boise, be blessed. Be blessed, state of Idaho. May we bring blessings wherever we go. All of us. The nation of America, the government be touched. India be touched. Draw your people. Draw the nations, Lord. Sing a new song, some people. You're called to sing a new song. You may feel age is catching up. Don't let that deter you. Sing a new song. There's a song of prayer. There's a song of intercession. Sing a new song.